Welcome to the John Deere Lawn Care Show, Green and Growing. Today we're here with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, the weatherman is calling for snow this week, and I can't wait to use my new snowblower. Do you have any tips?
Certainly. Review the operator's manual carefully and follow the instructions. Read all warning labels and safety precautions, and don't forget to dress for the job. Wear safety goggles, bundle up, and avoid loose-fitting clothes that might get caught in the controls.
I'll be an expert in no time. What else?
Slow down, expert. John Deere recommends that you check the fuel level, engine oil, and the hardware before you start. After you're done, run the snowblower for a few minutes to make sure the auger and impeller don't freeze. So, expert, why not start at my house this weekend?
Sure, Bill. Only $50 an hour for a friend. And thanks to all our friends out there for listening to this edition of Green and Growing.
WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
That's what I heard last night as I endeavored to drive home. I was going very slowly. I had the window opening and opening the car, and I could hear the wind howling and slush flying off the tires, and in the deep distance, the wolves that were trailing my vehicle. It was a night for wolves last night. Honestly, it was. And, you know, I said on the air that I was contemplating taking up residence on Rick Reiser's couch. And in the end, I couldn't bring myself to do it. Not because it's not a nice couch. Mind you, it's a most excellent couch. But when it comes down to cases, you want to be at your own hearth and your own home. You want to wake up with your kids the next morning. But honest to God, I would have been better off last night with a dog sled. And you don't. There are things you don't think about in the ordinary passage of just coming and going, getting to work, going home from work. I cruised on past Maple Lane, or Maple Fork, and that you start the downhill descent toward Fayette County, and those are some interesting hills when braking is something you just don't want to do. But, you know, in the long run, I decided that I didn't want to sleep on a couch that I had not been exiled to by my lovely wife. So I did make it home, but it was joyful. But, you know, the guys, the snow removal gang did a great job. I started out today, and it looked like the roads looked like snow had fallen everywhere but there. So, you know, a little golf clap to the snow removal crews. Hard work, and we appreciate it. Everything in the world is on the burner tonight. Close to home, I picked up the newspaper this morning, the Rag-Ho-Old, and I was reminded of that great line from the movie Beckett, which is attributed, and the line itself is originally attributed to Henry II of England when he asked, "Will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest?" Talking about Beckett. What, I ask you, what business has a priest who's supposed to be endeavoring toward social justice, equality, decent lives for the flock here on earth, what business has some priest coming in and declaring things like, snide, you have to respect the law and what it is. I don't know what the union will do, but we have to follow the law. As though the union were somehow some sort of lawless band of outlaws with bandoliers across their chest, riding wildly through the... Oh, stop it. What business does this guy have telling the county commission not to pay the people who are going to build this structure a decent wage with benefits and health care? What business has he doing that? Who does he think he is? I'll tell you this much. When you're opposing the right of decent people to earn a living wage and provide for their families, sunshine, you're no man of God. You may be a creature of the contractors. You may be a servant of mammon, but when you oppose ordinary families feeding those families, you are no man of God. Take that to the bank. What's this all about? This is all about this fellow Father Acker stepping in and saying, we don't want to pay a living wage to the people who build this educational annex. There's federal grant money, and it's being disbursed through the county commission. The dispersal through the county commission makes it default fall under West Virginia's Prevailing Wage Act. To argue otherwise is to argue that the law does not exist. Okay? It's that simple. So we got that. What else? Well, it looks like thanks to George W. Bush and you people who voted for him, the poor and the elderly and the disabled are going to be down about $150 million in Medicaid money. Thanks, guys. On behalf of old people and disabled people and people who have worked all their living or all their life. Living? Where did that come from? People who have worked all their life only to become unable to work any longer and rely on Medicaid to be able to go to the doctor. On behalf of those people, to the people who voted for George W. Bonghit, let me just say thank you. They appreciate it a lot. It means a lot to them to have their very lives pulled out from under them. To have the safety net hauled away. Well, you're up there on the high wire by yourself now, Granny. Hope you don't fall, because ain't nothing going to catch you, sweetheart. So we've got that. Oh, and look. $206 million in federal education funding we lose here in West Virginia alone, thanks to George W. Roachclip and you people who voted for him. Thanks, guys. On behalf of the little children who would like to learn in a drug-free school, let me just say thanks. We really appreciate your efforts. But, of course, it is worth bearing in mind that thanks to your efforts, no queers will be getting married in West Virginia anytime soon. Boy, we owe you a lot. We just owe you a boatload. And we'll see what we can't do about paying you back in time. Okay. Listen, let's take a break. The phone number around hereabouts is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. You can email to bob@headonradio.com, or you can email to wwnr@netphase.net. That's the email right here in the studio. Of course, we stream live for you every night on the Internet at wwnrnewstalk620.com. And the show is archived every night shortly after it ends by Ben Birch at thewhiterosesociety.org. So we make every effort to make the shows available to you, and this show in particular. So by all means, take advantage of it. We'll come back. We'll go to the phones. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be right back.
Head On.
How tough are you? West Virginia Sports Promotions presents a 26th annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on TV. This exciting event is being co-sponsored by 84 Lumber, Hometown Subaru, and Charter Media. It's coming April 1st and 2nd to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory. Up to $5,000 in prize money and Tough Man jackets to be awarded, plus an opportunity to advance to the World Championships and fight on national TV. No entry fee. Divisions for men and women. To sign up, you must be 18 or older, an area resident, no pro fights, and limited amateur experience. Just tough local guys and gals. If you think you're tough enough, call 1-800-296-3897. That's 1-800-296-3897. It's the 26th annual Southern West Virginia Budweiser Original Tough Man Contest, as seen on TV. Coming April 1st and 2nd to Beckley's Raleigh County Armory. Tickets go on sale March 12th. Tough men, tough women, and ring girls, sign up now. Wimps need not apply.
Many people believe our healthcare system and economy could be strained to the breaking point as the average American lifespan continues to increase. But speaking at a recent workshop sponsored by the National Institute on Aging, Dr. Robert Butler, President and CEO of the International Longevity Center, says,
as societies gain health and longevity, they actually generate more wealth. If you think about it a minute, a term I've been talking about these days, shortevity, the opposite of longevity. If you look at the former Soviet Union, they've actually lost life expectancy. If you look in some 10 or more African countries, they do have shortevity with an average life expectancy of less than 40. So as nations are able to generate greater longevity and greater health, they actually generate more wealth. So instead of our being so alarmed about Social Security costs and Medicare costs, we should harness this energy and make sure that older people are facilitated such that they can work longer and continue to contribute to society.
This is Calvin Jackson, the National Institutes of Health, with Bethesda, Maryland.
WWNR, Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 18 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock, I'm Bob. This is Head On, your nightly confrontation with the facts, or so we like to think. Listen, if you're a first-time caller, let John Kepi know when he answers the phone. We can't give you a donut or a gift certificate for a new car or anything, but, you know, we'll put you to the front of the line. Bobby, you're Head On. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Well, I just wanted to say thanks for thanking me for voting for George W. Bush. I do appreciate it.
Well, you know, the seniors that are going to get screwed out of their Medicaid really appreciate it. And the little kids who are getting ripped off in schools because of his budget, they really appreciate it too, Bobby.
Right.
We all do.
Well, I'm glad that you do. But yeah. Just want to tell you, you know, me and my wife both work very hard. We're from this area. We have a son in the Marine Corps that's been to Iraq twice. In fact, he's in Iraq as we speak.
I'll remember him in my prayers.
Well, thank you. But, I think that there's more to what you're saying, and I think anybody pretty much with the brain that really thought about it very hard knew who the best man was for the job. So that's why I voted for George W.
Okay, well, Bobby, since you make that assertion, how is he the best man for the job? What's he ever done for the United States of America?
Well, you know, I'm not going to argue specifics.
What you're telling me is you can't back up your assertion that he's the best man for the job.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure that you would look at it that way because I've only listened to you a couple of times, and really I believe you're an idiot. You know, so, you know, I'm not going to argue with you about the thing. You know, a person can think what they want to think.
Okay, so you come on here and you start the name-calling, Bobby, and what you want people to believe is that George Bush was the best man for the job when he wasted our surplus, when 9/11 occurred on his watch and was in large part a fault of his negligence, when he started a war over things that he said existed and weren't true, when in fact the education budget is being cut, the Medicaid budget is being cut. You know, and this is just the short list, Bobby, but, you know, you've got a kid in the Marines, so therefore a guy who was AWOL when he was in the military is somehow the best guy for the job. Well, you know, if you want to talk about idiots, you know, I think you've made a good case for yourself later. Next up, Jim. Hey, Jim, you're Head On.
Whoa. Good evening.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm fine.
My God, I'm afraid to talk to you now. I might burst into flames. My Lord, Bob, it's Jim.
Yeah.
Listen, I have HR-310, and speaking of hot stuff, if I do burst into flame, I've already had my dental record sent to you.
Okay. We'll do our best to identify your remains.
Listen, I don't know how you can talk to any of these people. I mean, I could not talk to any of these people, like this guy who just called you, or the people who put this thing in my hand together, even if I had a Ouija board.
I know, or the Rosetta Stone.
This thing started back in January 19, 2003 with the Golden Globe Awards when some guy named Bono said, this is really effing brilliant.
Yeah, okay? I remember.
All right. The second thing was, of course, the wardrobe malfunction with Janet Jackson Justin Timberlake.
Right, Attack of the Killer Breast.
Now, they have come to the conclusion that there are several things that really get them upset. The first word is the F word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you consider what the vice president said to Senator Leahy.
That's correct.
And the will of the Senate.
Yes.
Now, the use of the F word, as their definition, is in the sexual connotation.
Right.
Meaning penetration.
Right.
Now, this man at Golden Globes did not use the word like that.
Right. In fact, the FCC originally ruled, Jim, that Bono's remarks were non-obscene.
Exactly.
Because they were not used in a sexual connotation. They were simply used in a participial form?
Exactly. With an ing ending. Mm-hmm. Precisely. Gerund, participle. I'm not exactly sure which part of speech would describe it.
Right.
But nonetheless, that's there. Also, they get very, and you know, when you look at the way the vice president used it, it was in directly,
yeah,
meaning,
as
you
in,
know,
right, go and do that to yourself.
Exactly. I mean, what type of mixed message does that send to you?
It sends me no mixed message. It sends me a great, big, honking, clear message that we're dealing here with hypocrites of the first order, Jim.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. This is just incredible. Have you seen the whole thing that's come out?
No, I have not seen the entirety of it.
Oh, I can guarantee you one thing. It would certainly get, you talk about steam coming out your ears. It would definitely have you looking like a steam engine. And, of course, they have all types of things that refer to, bodily functions.
No, did they actually list them?
Yeah.
They're finally going to codify George Carlin's dirty words?
Well, I mean, basically they refer to them as execratory and flatulence.
Wow.
So, I mean...
So if I'm on air and I go...
Well,
as a sound effect, I've done something dirty? I don't think so.
Well, I shouldn't think so either. I mean, you know,
mercy.
All these things, we're human beings and we do... I mean, you know, we're...
But you got to remember, you are dealing... This is a piece of fine Republican legislation, right, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you've got to remember, you know, from dirty minds come dirty concepts, and this is the dirty-mindedest bunch that has ever drawn breath on planet Earth. Everything to them is dirty, 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 dirty. You know, under their way of thinking, I can well imagine that... programs on the Learning Channel that show babies being born? Dirty. Dirty, dirty, dirty.
Yeah, it was like I said last week, I think, I wonder what type of toilet training these people must have had.
At gunpoint,
right. And, you know, and what types of hang-ups some of the leaders must have.
Oh, look, we already know. I mean, Henry Hyde was breaking up marriages probably before either of us were born. Newt Gingrich was hollering about morality in the White House at the same time he was... banging a congressional intern like a cheap Chinese gong, okay? What kind of people these are. What's his name? Bob Livingston down in Louisiana was going to be Speaker of the House after Newt, but it turned out that he had a little taste for prostitution, of course, and him being a married man. You want dirty? You go to the Republican Party. They're perverts, they're killers, they're sick. It's just what they are.
Well... When I read this today, and I went through the whole thing, and when I saw what they, the things they were driving at, and the implications that it has, I mean, we're looking at Fahrenheit 451 here, buddy.
Oh, yes, we are, and it gets better, because as sort of an addendum to the debate, I don't know if you saw this or not, but Senator Ted Stevens, good, godly, upstanding Republican from Alaska, has proposed that the government extend its control from the airwaves to cable and to satellite radio, because you know they're tired of hearing Howard Stern hammer George W. Jesus. They're tired of it. They're not going to put up with it. They're going to squelch it if it's the last thing they do.
Man, I don't know where we're headed for, but I mean,
you couldn't trust this crowd in an outhouse with a muzzle on, Jim.
Look at who you just talked to. Look at the guy you just talked to.
Well, you know,
number one, he calls your show. You give him preeminence because he's a first time caller. He didn't have the even decency and courtesy to respect you for that. Then you know, he calls you a name. He can't defend his position in any of the things that you detail for him, bullet by bullet. And then, you know, you just finally have to say, I don't want to waste more time over this person. I mean, you were much nicer to him than I would ever have been, okay?
But, Jim, that guy has been waiting for months to come up with the guts to call me. He finally developed it.
Why?
Because they're afraid of me, Jim. You know, these right-wingers come on here, I hammer their butts into the floor. Some of them like it and come back for more.
I know.
But, you know, some of them get it and never call back again. But they're there every night. Every night.
They probably have a whole cabal sitting there.
They sit there and they get
radio there, and they're taking notes and probably drinking corn liquor.
Well, you know, you gotta kind of get into the physical mindset. You gotta bend your knees and bounce a little bit with your arms out and bows from you. Get that whole monkey thing going on, and you know, sitting there picking nits off of each other. I mean, that's what it sounds like in a Republican household listening to the Head On with Bob Kincaid.
If it ticks off a dog, they'll be picking one off a hound, throw him in the fireplace.
Hey, Jim,
I will never forget that scene from The Taming of the Shrew when Richard Burton picked his tick off his hound and shows to the sky for it, throws it in the fireplace. I said, this is authentic Italy in the middle of the Middle Ages. And what was that reference you used just a few minutes ago?
Oh,
well, no one rid me of this meddlesome priest.
Yeah.
Thomas A. Becket.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I don't know, my friend. I just hope it's not you who happens to be saying Mass at Canterbury when some people come to the door, but I swear to God, that's exactly what someone would like.
Oh, I know. But, you know, it's this is a cross that's kind of fun to bear, Jim. I got to tell you, it is.
Okay, well, listen, I just basically, like I say, I wanted to let you know about this other thing. But
well, I gotta. Do you have a link to the text?
I've got the paper thing in my hand. I already printed out.
Okay, well, I'll go find it when I get off the air tonight. This should be some scintillating reading.
Well, okay, and if you have trouble finding it, I can just mail it to you and get it at the station.
Okay, well, thanks, Jim.
But
I appreciate
it. You know, man, I could not talk to these people with a Ouija board, not even with a Ouija board, you know?
Sure, I do. Jim, have a great night. All right, we got to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll come back to your phone calls. The lines are stacking up. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Don't mess with me.
This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The snowstorm has just about moved out of the area, with the exception of blowing snow left over. and the heavy snow has been a blessing for the state's ski resorts. March is usually a busy month, and things have gotten even busier with the fresh snowfall this week. About a foot of new snow has fallen at Winter Place. Winter Place President Jerry Pfeiffer says things could not be better.
We've had very nice visitation. Lots of folks have come out, and as you know, there's been school cancellations in the area, so I've seen some of the kids that are out of school coming out and enjoying the skiing also. When it's weather like this, you know, it's wonderful, and people that, you know, haven't gotten enough skiing, you know, the beginning of this winter was a little bit mild, so, you know, people may have not come out to get their fill of skiing in, and right now is primetime midwinter skiing conditions.
Snowshoe Mountain Resort in Pocahontas County has also seen the biggest winter in the winter sweepstakes. It has seen 21 inches of fresh powder since the latest round of heavy snow started on Sunday night. About 200 employees of Workers' Compensation Commission will move to the State Insurance Commission when it takes over the agency's oversight of the commission system, compensation system rather, and appeals of award. That work will eventually be done by a new mutual insurance company, which will be a private company controlled by the state's more than 40,000 employers. People working for the Office of Inspector General's Fraud Unit will move on July 1st. Other sections will move by January 1st. A proposal to establish a separate fire code for bed and breakfast establishments in the state is being hailed by inn operators, but it has the state fire marshal concerned that safety rules don't go far enough. Kathleen Panek is the president of the Mountain State Association of Bed and Breakfasts, and she says many operators had been unaware they were in violation of existing rules that restricted the number of guests to 3. So she says the association started to lobby for more favorable regulations last year, and that proposal could reach a Senate vote as early as tomorrow. That's the news. Here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy. Still some blowing snow in the highest elevation, so watch out for that, especially areas like Flat Top and Sewell Mountain. Otherwise, partly cloudy and cold tonight with a low near 18, and for Thursday, much improved with the temperatures in the upper 30s and partly sunny skies. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
When we're done with this, we're going to be a much better, stronger, more efficient labor movement capable of bringing to workers what they want, need, and deserve.
AFL-CIO Secretary Treasurer Rich Trumka here in Las Vegas. The Labor Federation's Executive Committee spent the first day at the table talking through some of the fundamental reform proposals. And according to Public Affairs Director Denise Mitchell, the atmosphere was not hostile. She said a pretty strong consensus was that no union mergers would be forced in this AFL-CIO reform. She said no clear path emerged on the first day about exactly what will come out of this Las Vegas session. AFL-CIO President John Sweeney described what the closed-door sessions were like on the first day.
Debate has been fierce at times. People are really engaged. They want to have strong input into the future of the labor movement. And the changes that we're discussing are really sweeping and substantial.
Sweeney says it's clear more time will be needed to talk through these reform issues facing the labor movement between now and the AFL-CIO's Chicago convention in July.
A new bill in Montana would use a tax on big box stores to offset low wages and lack of benefits. The bill would target stores that make more than $20 million per year, such as those owned by Costco and Walmart. Sponsored by State Senator Ken Toole of Helena, the measure would tax the stores 1% for every $20 million it makes. Gene Fenderson, Executive Secretary of the Montana Progressive Labor Caucus, says the profitable stores are not paying their fair share in the state.
Over the last number of years, there's been about $500 million shifted from corporate taxation onto homeowners. That was number one. And, of course, the big box stores are sucking millions of dollars out of our state, and we believe not paying their fair share of tax.
If less than half of the store's employees are part-time, and they pay their full-time employees an entry-level wage of at least $22,000, counting both pay and benefits, the store would be exempt from the tax. A prominent and outspoken member of Iraq's oil and gas union was murdered last week. According to the International Confederation of Free Trade Unions, Ali Hassan Abd was one of the first activists to organize trade unions in the Iraqi oil industry in the post-Saddam country. The Confederation has condemned the killing as well as the torture and murder of other workers. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. New projections show that medical costs will become harder to afford for the government, business, workers, and the uninsured over the next 10 years. Figures released by the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services say that healthcare spending in the United States will outpace inflation and wage growth. By 2014, public and private healthcare spending will be more than $11,000 per person and will account for 19% of the gross domestic product.
You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right.
Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 23 minutes before 8 o'clock here in beautiful uptown Beckley, where the streets have been cleared of snow, and I'm grateful for it. But just remember, just because it doesn't look like there's anything on the road doesn't mean that there isn't. Black ice, remember it. It'll mess you up. So, you know, I'm driving carefully. I'm going carefully home tonight. It's great to hear from our correspondent across the pond. Stephen has written back in. Does a great letter. Really interesting stuff. Too much to share the entirety of it with you. But he's toying in England with the idea of entering the political fray. And in just describing himself, he says, "I'm not a politician. I'm too honest for my own good. I don't know the art of aversion as a natural politician does. I'm not a rhetorical chameleon. I tend to tell the truth whenever I'm asked for an opinion or a point of view." Not a politician. But do you see? Perspective is everything. Perspective is absolutely everything. They've got the same problem there that we have here. We would crawl across ground glass for a politician who just spoke plain truth and wasn't out there beating anyone's ideological drum and saying that everything will be well in America if we can just stop women from controlling their bodies and blah, 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 blah. Somebody will just stand up and speak plain truth. And those who aren't into the plain truth thing, that's generally the same crowd that's opposing the Clean Elections Bill as it tries to move its way through the legislature. Scared to death of it. Terrified of it. Because, you know, what's keeping them in office is the political money that they gather. You know, walking around with a handout, you know, handful of money, head empty of ideas. It's a problem. And clean elections could change that. But a great remark from Stephen, and toward the end of his note, he says, "I've now gained access to your message boards, which is fantastic, and have started lambasting the right-wing coffin sleepers." We may have to put Stephen on the payroll. The right-wing coffin sleepers. That's a great one. "Again, glad to be part of Pastor Kincaid's congregation of common sense." We're going to have to put him on the payroll for lines like that. I'm not kidding you. Thanks, Stephen, for your note. We appreciate it. Great to have you listening in any way that you can. Other stuff out there. I want to point something out to you. We've talked a little bit about the murder of Judge Lefkow's mother and husband in Chicago. That's how you have to say Chicago. Recently. And it's interesting. I was just looking at some of the headlines. White supremacist group, zealots and revolutionaries. That's how these people who killed Judge Lefkow's husband and aged mother are referred to. They executed these people. White supremacists. White supremacists. Just let that sort of that phrase bang around inside your skull for a couple of seconds before the natural question arises. And I know it's in the minds of most of the decent people listening to this show. White supremacists. There's another word. It's a shorter word we can use for people who run around trying to intimidate judges by killing their husbands and their aged mothers. You know what it is. Terrorists. But no, these people are white supremacists that executed Judge Lefkow's husband and mother. They're not terrorists. They're white supremacists. It sounds so much nicer. Because, of course, we wouldn't want to be calling someone a terrorist who wasn't, you know, dark-skinned. You understand? And in keeping with the previous theme, David Duke. David Duke. Remember David Duke? Klansman? And white supremacist? Yeah. And he ran for election at one point not too long back, didn't he? Yeah, he did. And now, help me here. David Duke ran for office, ran as a, trying to remember, liberal Democrat, yet no, didn't run as a liberal Democrat. Ran as an independent? No, didn't run as an independent. Now, what party did David Duke run under? That's right. David Duke ran as a... Come on, everybody, say it with me. 1, 2, 3. Republican! And everybody gets mad at me when I point out the fact that these killers and these thugs and these punks and these perverts have a strong tendency toward being Republicans. And I'm... Look, you know, here I am. I'm just telling you. Now, if you're offended by that and you don't want to have anything to do with that bunch, then why... If you're a registered Republican, why would you associate with people like that? Because, you know, clearly, if you're a registered Republican, you are. But if you don't share those values, that race hatred, that willingness to kill everything that moves or disagrees with you, why do you have anything to do with those people? And moreover, why can't we refer to these people who killed Judge Lefkow's husband and aged mother, 89 years old she was when they put the bullets in her. 89 years old. Why can't we call them terrorists? And of course, you know, being a white supremacist, and one of the leading questions in this particular case is a man named Matthew Hale, the race-hating group Church of the World Church of the Creator. That's his hate group, World Church of the Creator. Why can't we call those outfits terrorists? Aren't they? Or is that a phrase we reserve for brown people with strange names and odd accents from faraway lands? Was Timothy McVeigh a terrorist? Blew up the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, the single worst terrorist attack on American soil up until 9/11. Was he a terrorist or just another Republican? And you figure it out. What will you do when we find out that it was Republicans who massacred, slaughtered, executed Judge Lefkow's husband and ancient mother? What will you do? How much data do you need before you realize that there is something fundamentally sick inside the Republican Party? How much data do you need, or is it one of those situations where facts simply will not suffice, and you need, you need not bother with facts. Just ignore it, and it'll all go away, right? It won't go away. It won't go away at all. My heavens. A little bit about Mr. Hale. He's rotting in jail right now. He sent one of his lieutenants while he was in jail. He sent one of his lieutenants to do his bidding. Benjamin Smith, 1999, July, went on a shooting rampage in Illinois and Indiana, targeting minorities. Smith, This Hales lieutenant killed two people, including former Northwestern University basketball coach Ricky Birdsong. I remember when that happened. Wounded nine others before killing himself as police closed in. And Hale laughed about it. Hale, whose doormat was an Israeli flag, laughed about it and made imitation sounds of gunfire. Bang, 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 bang. Sounds like he'd have a great time with George Bush, doesn't it? Remember what George Bush did after he had Carla Faye Tucker killed? The woman who had turned her life around, whom even the right-wing evangelist that George runs with begged him not to kill her? After he'd had her killed, he mocked her and said, oh, what'd she do? Say, please don't kill me, please don't kill me. Remember that? Of course you do. And Mr. Hale, as a child, set up a young Nazi club in elementary school and called it the Little Reich. Do you suppose Mr. Hale has ever in his life voted for a Democrat? Face facts. You know he votes Republican. It can't be helped. That's the way these people are. They gravitate toward the right wing. They're fascists. I don't see what's so difficult to grasp in all of that. But you will not see if you go looking around. Even the most sympathetic of stories about this these Lefkow murders, you will not see you will not see them referred to as terrorists, right-wing supremacists, hate groups. That you'll see. You'll not see them called terrorists. That's what they are. We've got folks waiting on the phone, and I should go there. Let's go to Wayne. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
What? I got that beep thing back.
Yeah, well, these things happen.
Oh. I just want to say one thing.
Sure.
That Radio Free Beckley?
Yeah.
You the man. You the man, buddy. I mean, God, that was, I'm going to try to record that. That's art.
Yeah, just go to White Rose Society and download
them up and spit them out.
Well, you know, I'll have a decent conversation with anybody, Wayne. Yeah, you know me.
You were a nice guy. He called you an idiot.
Yeah.
That's what he called you. I heard him.
And, you know, I mean, we didn't hear what was going on. Hey, honey, you used three syllables that time. Woo-hoo!
See, you can be cruel.
Well, yes. Everybody gets a shot. I mean, everybody gets a fair shake.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, buddy, you the man.
Well, I appreciate
it. That's all there is to that. That was absolutely beautiful. I will find out a way to record. Well, I'm going to go to
White Rose Society.
White Rose.
Yeah, WhiteRoseSociety.org.
I don't know, you know, carry it everywhere with a little black light or something. Tell all the people, listen to this. You know?
That's wonderful. But, you know, you didn't do so bad for yourself in the paper this morning either.
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm the, you know, union. And then what do you call them two big square marks they put after that? It's not parentheses. What are those things?
Brackets.
Brackets. Okay, what's that mean? You know, you know, okay, I work for the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. What's our motto?
If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you.
Exactly. Could very well end up a non-union company get that job. I want them to make the money to provide for their family, to have health insurance, and to have a pension plan, whether they're in the union or not in the union.
Right.
Why they're not in the union, I don't know. You know, they got to wake up and realize without us, that money would not be there.
No.
You know. Where the I'm gonna get a sign for my truck, organized labor, the people that brought you the weekend.
Yeah, and that's no joke either.
Well, it is no joke. And I mean, where are all these people at? Where do you think the 8-hour day and the 40-hour week and time and a half and
workers' comp, unemployment insurance,
Social Security and OSHA, and where do you think that came from? Came from working people standing together.
No, that came from well-intentioned Republicans.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, screw it, Wayne. Let's just rewrite history.
Well, that's what they're doing.
I know.
I mean, you know, 1984 is, well, it's just 20 years late.
Yeah.
Did you think about that? Yeah, 20 years late. because that's re-electing him.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the, that's the where the 20-year late comes in.
Yeah.
1984. So, yeah, I was in the paper, and I don't know. I talked to Dr. Bill a little bit today.
Well, what, I mean, is this Acker guy just that snide that, you know, well, we have to respect the law. We don't know what the unions will do, but we have to respect the law. Yeah, like, you know.
That was a shot, man. I mean, you know, it was a shot at me and the unions. I mean, it said,
I mean, that's
we have to respect the law. I don't know what the unions will do. Well, what does that mean and what does that imply? That's an Indian. Don't insult me. That's terrible.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's
a horrible insult. It's a sin. The guy needs to be in confession over that. It's so revolting. I mean, the idea.
See, I wouldn't disagree with that, Bob, but I don't want to get into that. I got something to.
I understand. I understand, but yeah. it just makes me mad.
Well, it makes me mad too because why don't we here? I got a plan. Why don't we all be adults? Why don't? You know, okay, obviously I got a problem. You go, why don't we all have a big meeting and see how can we build this public facility, this public improvement for the use of the public,
mm-hmm.
and everybody get together and say, you know, have their input. Let's see how, you know, Dr. Bill said that Father Ackers is concerned that he won't have enough money to do what he wants to do. Well, then what's the first answer?
Well, what's he want to do?
Let's cut the guy's pay.
No, what's he want to do? Fly to Rio?
Right, exactly. Let's sit down and see maybe if we did this like this. Let's pick a company. Let's pick, you know, let's sit down and talk about what you want to do. Include everybody. Maybe we could work something out where it will be beneficial to the entire community.
Yeah, and let's go back and hammer that point one more time, if you don't mind, Wayne.
Which one is that?
Regardless of who gets the work, you want them to make a prevailing wage income.
Yeah, I do. I want them to be able to provide for their family. I want them to. We've introduced some legislation that if the way prevailing wage is now, just using round numbers,
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, a construction worker, no particular one, but his prevailing wage is $30 an hour.
Right.
In a union, if he's working for a union company, he gets $20 in his paycheck. $5 goes to pay for health insurance for him and his family.
Sure.
And $5 goes to pension. He doesn't have a choice. He doesn't get that. You know, I mean, that has to go there.
Right.
A non-union contractor doesn't provide that. They're workers get that in their check.
Yeah, they just get $30 an hour, period.
Right. We've proposed legislation that if in order to be able to bid on a public project, you have to provide health insurance for your employees. Now, you could take it out of their prevailing wage. That's what it's set there for.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at a prevailing wage, it says wage, $20 an hour, benefits, $10.
Right.
Okay, it's separated. And, you know, I think that, how can you be against that? Why?
In a country that refuses to provide health care for all Americans.
Exactly.
In a country that is a segment of which is desperately trying to destroy pensions and retirements.
Yeah.
Who could disagree with it?
Well, you know, there's a...
Wait, Wayne. I mean, you know, that's rhetorical. Who could disagree with it? We know who disagrees with it.
Yeah, big business and corporations.
And Father Acker. I'm not letting up on the guy because he's got a funny looking collar. Okay, I'm not going to
do it. That doesn't. You know, I'm not dealing. This is business.
Yeah.
But that's what this is, and I want to make it good for everybody, and I think it can be made good for everybody. All the everybody's got to get together and talk about it.
Right.
And don't put on airs and don't pretend. Let's be real.
Yeah, don't act like the other side's going to come out with ball bats.
Exactly.
I mean, because that's what that
and
comment...
make statements like, well, we're going to obey the law. We don't know what them union thugs are going to do.
Right.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Yeah, that's making me madder and madder now that I think...
Oh, I read that this morning and just, you know.
Well, yeah.
Well, like I said, the first thing that came to my mind was that line from Beckett where the king says, "Will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest?" You know, I know.
Yeah, see, I've never read them lines, and
well, trust me, it's very applicable.
And I don't know if I said meddling, but I know I have said priest.
Yeah, but I know people that went to school at Wheeling College, the last place this guy stopped in, and I promise you, the people that I know don't have two good words to put together about this guy. You know, if they want to call in and share their thoughts, they're more than welcome to, because I know they'll listen. But,
this whole thing is leading to, we're going to go to the courts. You know, like, what a waste. Why can't we sit down as adults and work this whole thing out?
Yeah, guess who does best if you go to the courts? The lawyers.
The lawyers.
Sure.
Yeah, the lawyers. I got nothing against lawyers.
No, this is about, working people.
Yeah, I think it also, it's very immature.
I mean, what? If Father Acker gets to pay everybody $6 an hour, he's going to put in solid gold flagstones? I mean, what?
Well, exactly. I mean, yeah.
We're not building St. Peter's here.
I mean, Dr. Bill said, you know, they're concerned they won't have enough money. And, you know, I thought, well, hell, I got a good idea. Let's use slave labor. Then we could really build,
Hey, there's that ownership society again.
There you go.
Hey, Wayne, we got to roll out of here, man.
Okay, bud.
Thanks.
Bye.
We'll come back. Listen, for those of you on hold, please stick around. We'll come to you out of the top of the hour news. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
When you know all about your kid's school, you know all about your kid. Visit www.pta.org to find more than 100 simple ways to know more and do more. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
WWNR Beckley. News Talk 620, WWNR Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the John. It's 9 o'clock.
Disability rates for older people have declined in recent years. But speaking in a workshop sponsored by the National Institute on Aging, Dr. Robert Butler, President and CEO of the International Longevity Center, cautions that Americans could be facing a decrease in life expectancy if we don't address some growing health issues.
We've all been taking pride in the drop in disability rates as people grow older. But with overweight, we already lose much because of the prospect of diabetes, heart disease, etc. So we could actually lose what we've gained. We're seeing type 2 old age diabetes in 10-year-old children. This is not good news. And we've adopted such a sedentary life. I mean, the computer games, the television, the automobile, so many of these factors that do not help us remain physically active.
This is Calvin Jackson, the National Institutes of Health, Bethesda, Maryland.
WWNR, Beckley.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 after 8. And this was mentioned in earlier in conversation. Yeah, Senator Ted Stevens, Republican, Alaska. Do you remember when Ronnie Reagan campaigned? Well, we're gonna get government off your back. Remember that? I do. And it was a smokescreen the whole time because he added to the federal payroll more than any other president before him in history. And here it is again. Senator Ted Stevens, Republican, Alaska, wants to restrict what you pay to listen to and watch. He addressed a group of broadcasters and said he wants, listen carefully, anti-government right-wingers. This is your side of the debate. He wants government control of hundreds of cable and satellite television and radio channels that currently operate outside the government's control. You know, things like The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. You think we could get Jon Stewart's comedy and commentary in Senator Stevens' Leave It to Beaver World? I'm guessing no. And again, you know, I try to keep this program clean for the most part, not because I've got some sort of Pollyanna-ish fear of certain words, and not necessarily because I am told by my government that I may not say them, although I am told by my government that I may not say them. My kids listen to this show. And what I won't say around the house, I won't say here. I mean, they've heard me let go of the occasional damn. You know, I'm a bad boy when I stub my toe. I mean, all of those Yosemite Sam words, blag stag and that right frassin' rassle dag statin' blue nose. Yeah. But the other part of it is that maybe we can, I don't have to have the words. I mean, I can sling them around with the best of them, but you don't have to have them to communicate. I personally don't find anything particularly offensive about the use of them. You know, anybody who thinks that in the stinking bloody sands of Iraq we've got soldiers out there getting shot saying, "Gosh, darn, that hurts." No, sunshine. No. The FCC would not allow you to hear what gets said in the stinking bloody sands of Iraq. And Ted Stevens is on a crusade against obscenity. Obscenity. You try to define obscenity. You won't. It's like pushing a wheelbarrow full of frogs trying to define obscenity. It really is one of those one man's nightshirts, another man's pajamas kind of affairs. I promise you, it is. But, you know, we'll trust the government to define what we can see and what we can hear. I didn't like Leave It to Beaver when I was a kid. I don't like it now. And I don't want an entire television spectrum of it. But, you know, listen, if these Republicans had their way, you know what it'd be. 500 channels of the Trinity Broadcasting Network. And that woman whose makeup makes Tammy Faye look like a model of decorum. God, it's nice to have John Kepi back over here laughing. You know that woman I'm talking about. Mr. Tilton, is that Tilton's wife or whatever? I mean, she lays the stuff on with a plasterer's trowel. She makes Catherine Harris look circumspect. Yeah, but that's me. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. We've got Chris with us. Hey, Chris, thanks for waiting. Chris.
It'll be a whole bunch of Trinity Broadcasting, and every once in a while they'll have Garrison Keillor come on there and give the daily whatever. And we'll be vomiting and puking and throwing our televisions out the window saying, "I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it."
Well, then maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a positive upshot to it.
Yeah, actually there is.
If we're given the tube a heave.
Okay, so, George Will, an award, $250,000, from a private group, private organization, links to the Republican Bush Party is it payola is the headline on BuzzFlash. Is it payola?
It's all payola.
Okay, so if we can't call right-wing, I mean, I was about to say right-wing supremacist.
Hey, you know, merge them, Chris. I mean, be creative. Well, mix it on the palate, brother.
Freudian slip, baby. Looking right up that thing. If we can't call white supremacists terrorists, well, can we call these people that are paid off by the Bush administration to tell it like Bush says it is? Can we not call them Eichmanns?
Nope, can't do that either. That might get Michael Savage calling you something nasty. Of course, he's allowed to do that.
Bring it on, Michael.
I mean, there is...
the Master Report can take it. Come on, baby.
But now, really, Chris, it's you're right. You know, look, I mean, you know, what's the old joke about the woman asking the question about Hindu cosmogony, where it's the elephant standing on the turtle, and she asks the holy man, well, what's under the turtle? And he says, madam, it's turtles all the way down. You know, it's liars all the way to the ground in the Bush administration.
Oh yeah,
Well, did you see the latest little thing that happened with Adam's apple Annie Coulter?
No, what's she doing?
Well, she pens this piece of miserable vitriolic diatribe. What's new? And refers to Helen Thomas, you know, 90 years old Helen Thomas.
Oh, yeah, it's running a brothel, yeah.
No, she says, this old Arab, Helen Thomas.
Arab?
I never knew. But then Universal Press Syndicate, which is her syndicator,
yeah,
edits that into this dyspeptic old Helen Thomas. And you tell me there's a liberal bias in the media? They're covering for this that evil transvestite, Ann Coulter.
Oh my goodness, man!
From that old Arab, Helen Thomas, to dyspeptic old Helen Thomas.
Picking on Helen Thomas is like taking away Tiny Tim's crutch.
Well, yeah, in some ways, but she's also the only honest, apparently the only honest human being left in the press room. And she asks tough questions, and
buddy, she don't take crap.
No, and she didn't take
nobody.
It. She didn't take it off Truman. She didn't take it off Eisenhower. She didn't take it off Kennedy. She didn't take it off Johnson or Nixon or Ford or Carter or Reagan or Poppy Bush or Clinton. And George W. Bush, coward that he is scared to death of her and won't even call on her.
I tell you what, I've always just thought she was extraordinary. And Coulter saying that, well, you know what? It just reinforces my idea that, hey, Helen Thomas is great.
Well, yeah, she is.
I don't need the Nazi emblazoned
sexual
device wielding Ann Coulter.
But I guess the question is, you know, in right wing speak, Chris, is Arab the new N word?
It must be. No longer is liberal. You have to be an Arab.
You know, you got to be brown to be a terrorist, apparently.
Yeah. Did you see where Tom Ridge? I know that you found to have mentioned this.
Took the job with Home Depot. Yeah. In fact, I forget we had an emailer who suggested a gentleman from Canada who said maybe we can call it Homeland Despot now.
Yeah. Tom Ridge is over the duct tape department now. If you have one of those
Attention, Homeland Depot shoppers, now flashing in our duct tape department.
Homeland Depot, yeah. I like that.
Homeland Despot.
Well, I finally wrote, I don't know if you've seen it yet on my blog. I sent it to you email. I know it probably has those little weird things on it.
That's okay. I can read past it.
But I just wanted to send it to you right after I finally wrote something regarding War Churchill.
Yes, I did read that, and I thought it was very, very trenchant.
I tell you, that's the longest it's taken me to write anything. Usually, any of the pieces that I put on my blog, I write them in the length of time it takes me to type it.
Mm-hmm.
It just all comes pouring out. But it took about 30 minutes to write them. Not that I was like, well, you know, I don't need to say this, I don't need to say that. It was just really, really thought-provoking.
Well,
thought-provoking subject.
Well, you know, you've got to ask when, you know, when you got Ted Stevens out there saying that he needs to, you know, he's the guy who can tell you what you need to see and hear. And you know Ward Churchill's high on his list. We'll never, you know, he'll be lucky not to be in a dog cage in Guantanamo if Stevens gets his way.
I read an American Indian newspaper online. I can't remember which one it was. And they had a rather conservative editorial on there talking about that was running down Churchill.
Mm-hmm.
He's not Indian. He's not this. He doesn't speak for me. But like I wrote, when whether you agree with him or not, when this country, you can no longer stand up and say what you feel, what you think. You no longer give out your opinion. You can't call a show like the Bob Kincaid Show and say, look, this is what I think. Then it's over.
It's not America anymore.
It's over with.
And believe me, Chris, that crowd that wants it all Leave It to Beaver or all Trinity Broadcasting,
they would like nothing better.
They're very, very real. And if we put cable broadcasts under the purview of the FCC, the first thing that's going to happen is that nasty little website out at parentstv.org is going to catch fire.
I do believe I read a headline somewhere. I think it was on Drudge. I haven't read the story yet. But it said that a senator or congressman or somebody, I think, said that the decency guidelines ought to apply to pay TV.
Yeah, that's Senator Stevens.
Oh, that's the one. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, give me a break.
You know, it's these people confessing that they don't, you know, it's for the children. You know, what they're confessing is that they do not have the time or the interest in monitoring what their children watch. Now, I'm smart enough and a decent enough parent, along and God knows my lovely wife, to say, kids, you can't watch that.
I tell my daughter that all the time. Kyle was over last night, and we watched a bunch of the documentary Lost in La Mancha about Terry Gilliam's ill-fated attempt at making a movie of Don Quixote.
Right.
And Carrie asked, can I watch this? Because she just loves Kyle to death, and she wouldn't have been there. I said, no, honey, it's rated R. You can't watch it. And she understands that, so she went to her room and watch something on her TV. And I say, that's so very understanding. People are saying, well, you know, we need this feature, we need this, we need that. Look, just be a parent.
Yeah.
And tell your child, explain to them.
And look at us.
Don't talk to your child as a baby.
Yeah, look at us, a bunch of knee-jerk liberals advocating being parents.
Yeah. Talk to your child like you would anybody else.
Right.
Talk to them as an adult, and they'll grow up that way.
You know, from the first day our kids were born, Chris, I don't think we have baby-talked one of them for a minute.
We never have.
Yeah, we've spoken to them in complete sentences like adults. And, you know, sometimes you pay a price for that when they're mad at you because they talk back to you in complete sentences like adults, too.
Yeah. But we have never talked to my daughter in baby talk. And she is in the third grade, reads halfway through the fifth grade level. She's in the special program for advanced learning. She takes Spanish after school one day a week.
Oh, that's excellent.
She's an exceptional student. But I have friends that baby talk their kids, and their kids are making C's and D's and F's.
Not surprising.
And they're so insecure they don't know what to do. Well, isn't that a wonder?
Well, you know, and guess who they voted for?
Yeah, really? You're exactly right.
You know, I tell you what, do me a favor, just because, you know, it's the old stomping grounds. It's the ancestral land that cries out to my blood down there where you are. Up here in West Virginia, Chris, we're going to take a $150 million hit on Medicaid thanks to the Bush budget. and we're going to take a $206 million hit in education funding, thanks to the Bush budget. Just for the fun of it, just so people... Because I've told people, there's not a lot of difference between an Alabamian and a West Virginian. You know, hard workers, give you the shirt off their back, highly creative, energetic people.
Actually stop when you're broken down and ask if you need help.
Right. You know, no pretense, no hoi polloi. I'd be curious to find out, and, you know, look, I mean, let's admit it. You know, your average Alabamian ran right out and voted for Bush as many times as he could, just like the right-wingers did up here. It would be curious to see, I mean, I would be curious to find out if there's any hue and cry down there about the fact that Alabama is about to have the great big honking screws put to it. Because if we're losing this kind of money in West Virginia, I guarantee you're losing it there too, Chris.
There's hardly been any mention of it. Hardly at all.
That's amazing.
I want to say one more quick thing.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Okay, Lou Dobbs, the conservative who pretends to be a liberal that always has on his show, Exporting America.
Mm-hmm.
Well, something happened in Florence yesterday.
Yeah.
Today. And one of my very best friends in the whole world, whose wife has a baby due in 5 weeks, he works for a company, or did work for a company, called Net Related. And what they did, is they handled tech calls for online companies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You got a problem, you're probably routed to them, and they would handle it for you. Well, everybody that works at Net Related, about 20 to 30 people today, showed up for work. There was nobody there. Nothing.
Just slipped out in the middle of the night.
Slipped out in the middle of the night. Okay, everybody's talking about exporting America. Yeah, there are lots of jobs being sent overseas. But what about that? What about the companies that go, you know what? Let's go.
We're out of here.
Yeah. Now, to me, that's worse.
And, you know, is that because you need tort reform in Alabama, Chris? Or might it be because these heartless punks don't give a tinker's damn about the human lives that they wreck and ruin as long as they make a little bit more money? You know, that's just another classic case of some miserable fool who hasn't yet figured out that they don't hitch U-Hauls to hearses. That's awful.
What's that Don Henley says? There's no hearses with luggage racks.
That's right. That's absolutely right. That's awful, Chris.
That is awful. And he and his wife just had a baby shower last week. And we got them a couple of gifts and stuff that, you know, we basically couldn't afford to do it, but we loved them so much that we did it.
Yeah.
And so I sent him an email this evening, and poor as we are, you know, I don't mean to brag about myself, but I consider myself a good person.
Yeah.
I'm a good liberal, put it that way.
Right.
I told him that if they need anything, to let us know. And whatever we've got extra, I'll get to them.
And, yeah, that's no hollow promise.
No, that's no hollow promise. And if you would believe the conservatives of this country, they would have you to believe that I would be standing outside waiting for their stuff to be auctioned off and take it and buy it and take it home.
Oh, yeah, and the conservatives, too, will be more than happy to support your friends if they'll come and join their church.
Yeah. We want you to learn this. We want you to believe in this. Oh, and by the way, before you leave, we pass a little thing around called a collection foot.
Yeah.
And if you want to get the good parking space, right in front of the building, you know, we advise you to give.
Give till it hurts.
Give till it hurts. Bob, you're doing a great show.
Thanks, I appreciate it, Chris.
I enjoyed Wayne's call.
Wayne's good people.
Wayne is very good people. I enjoyed Wayne's call. And you told me that that about the big house that's being built on the hill, they kind of faded away.
For the time being, they'll be back.
For the time being. Well, Ed, my good wishes helped.
Absolutely.
I like that they helped.
Listen. We'll take all the good all the good feeling, well wishes, and good spirit that we can get, and we appreciate it, Chris.
Take care, Hoff.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Later. Okay. Let's take our break. Let's see what Karl Marx got in store for us, and what's got a burr under Jim Hightower's saddle this evening. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob from Cape.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. We saw some relief today from the hard winter weather of the past week. Another couple of inches of snow fell across the Beckley area last night. In some parts of the state, though, have seen up to 21 inches of snow since Sunday night. That's mostly in the higher elevations in the eastern mountains. Chris Leonardi with the National Weather Service says the snow should be quitting completely by tomorrow.
We are expecting some slow improvement today, although down in the Beckley area, we still are expecting probably another 1 to 3 inches of additional accumulation. Of course, the 3 inches will be more likely in the ridgetops than in the valleys. But by the end of today and then through tonight, we should start to see a slow decrease in coverage of the snow. And then by Thursday morning, we should finally be able to get rid of the snow out of that area and finally get some dry weather.
Leonardi says the thing to watch for this evening is blowing snow with winds still gusting up to around 10 to 15 mile an hour. The swirls of snow could still cause poor visibility this evening for motorists. No major accidents were reported during last night's snowstorm. About 800 Allegheny Power customers in the Summersville area were without power last night. AEP has reported no major outages. The driver of a log truck injured Tuesday afternoon when his rig overturned on the westbound entrance ramp of I-64. Sheriff's deputies say Jerry Ratliff of White Sulphur Springs was driving up the entrance ramp just before 2 o'clock when his load shifted, and that caused the tractor-trailer to overturn. Ratliff was taken to Raleigh General with head injuries. His condition today unknown. The westbound entrance ramp was closed for about 2 hours while emergency crews removed the logs that spilled from the overturned truck. Well, how much should construction workers who will build the new higher education center in Beckley be paid? That amount is in dispute by the backers of the center, the Education Foundation, and also the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. The federal Davis-Bacon Act says workers on any project to which the United States is part of the construction process must be paid prevailing wage. Father Thomas Acker, executive director of the Educational Foundation, says the federal grant for the Higher Ed Center clearly states it does not fall under Davis-Bacon. Wayne Rebike with the Affiliate Construction Trades Foundation does not dispute that, but he says that because the federal money is being funneled through the Raleigh County Commission, the project falls under state prevailing wage laws. That's the news. The forecast for this evening: partly cloudy with a slim chance of a light snow shower. Otherwise, tonight will be partly cloudy and cold, low around 18. And then for tomorrow, partly cloudy, a little bit warmer, temperatures in the upper 30s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Don't you just love sample day at the grocery store? You get to nibble on a whole variety of things without committing to something that may not agree with your taste buds. Apply that same idea to the world of romance, and you find yourself at Cupid.com, the place where you can meet hundreds of guys in your own hometown through our website or at one of our fun local events. Basic memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from Gold members, a service you usually pay for at other sites. Most online dating services build worldwide networks of strangers thousands of miles apart, but Cupid.com concentrates on bringing people together who have things in common, including an area code. And since the people that use Cupid.com are looking for true love, one match is all it takes to find your soulmate. Tired of the bitter taste of just another date? Sample your true love at Cupid.com, online or at a local event. Cupid.com.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
In 2002, America's corporate barons were on the lam, fleeing the wrath of a public that was outraged by the raw ugliness of CEO greed, which had suddenly erupted out of Enron, WorldCom, Tyco, and so many others. You might recall that George W., feeling the political heat, loudly denounced the greed back then. To show his seriousness, Bush installed a new sheriff at the SEC, the agency in charge of protecting shareholders and the larger public from these out-of-control corporate chieftains. But 2.5 years later, the CEOs are no longer running away. Instead, they're running the SEC, signaling that the flag of reform has now been officially struck from the agency and replaced by the flags of the corporations it is charged with overseeing. The SEC recently capitulated on one of its key reforms. You and I would consider this a very mild, even meek reform. It would have required that the boards of directors that supposedly serve as a check on CEO actions not be entirely chosen by CEOs. Instead, in board elections, large shareholders would be allowed to put forth their own independent nominees for a couple of the board seats. Good grief, shouted the CEOs in unison. The Bolsheviks are coming. Democracy, you see, is abhorrent to corporate barons, and they mounted a massive lobbying campaign to get the SEC to stop this communistic encroachment on their totalitarian rule. Sure enough, in February, the SEC officials meekly ruled that this proposed reform had become stale with the passage of time, so they dropped it. This is Jim Hightower saying, what we have here is a victory of corporate political money. Last year, Bush, flush with campaign cash from CEOs, joined their lobbying effort against shareholder democracy. And John Kerry, also immersed in CEO money, simply refused to raise the hot issue of corporate corruption, so reform became a political orphan, and now it's been killed.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little supplement from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid. Hang it on.
We're back. 26 minutes before 9 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. A reminder, the phone number, always good to remember, remind the phone number, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967, and email to wwnr@netphase.net, or bob@headonradio.com. It's a little, the bob@headonradio.com, I generally wait until I get home to go after that. But I always do try to reply. I think folks can tell you that I don't just ignore emails. I enjoy the conversation. You may have heard that in the past few days, Governor Manchin was at the governor's meeting in D.C. And in fact, that the address by Bill Gates about the future of education in America that Dr. Bill is referring to, he gave that address, I believe, at that meeting. That being the case, you might or might not know that Bibby also addressed the group. Interestingly, though, there were no cameras rolling. There was no audio recording. There was no transcript of the address. He's scared to death. I mean, now we got to add governors of the several states to the list of people he is scared of. George Bush was terrified of Governor Joe Manchin, one of the friendliest human beings that I know. He spoke for 15 minutes about his plans for his second term. That much the press was allowed in for, and there was a transcript. Okay, but that wasn't the important part. That was you know, that was that, George is okay with set pieces. But what's new, not so much when he deals with stuff off the cuff. So he spoke for 15 minutes, and the press was allowed, the press was permitted to watch.
You will be allowed to watch the president address the Governors Association meeting. We will provide you with a transcript.
But then came question time. And surprisingly enough, the questions weren't pre-submitted in writing, and there wasn't a Governor Gannon, a Governor Jimmy Jeff Gucky Gann, in the crowd to lob softballs at him. It. Thing one. That guy, the pod person in the White House. And according to Dan Frumkin, who wrote the article in Tuesday's Washington Post, in the view of at least one governor, it was not a pretty sight. There is a new governor, Brian Schweitzer, governor of Montana. Oddly enough, a Democrat. He's a rancher and a wheat farmer. He's been in office for 6 weeks. And when asked, Governor Schweitzer compared Bush's performance answering these really tough questions to a bull auction hawking lousy studs. Schweitzer said, I was watching the governors around the room. And he described watching ranchers at a bull auction, you know, they'll crinkle their nose if they're not so sure. Yeah, you know what I'm doing. We don't have to have TV for this. You crinkle your nose, you're not so sure. And you kind of nod your head, yeah, that's a good one. And Governor Schweitzer said there was a lot more nose crinkling than there was head nodding. In his opening remarks, Bush said, I'm coming to your states. I'm coming to a lot of states between now and whenever Congress decides to take this issue on head on. We're going to have to sue him for that. To remind people not only we have a problem, but we have an obligation to fix it. And I'm looking forward to this debate. Schweitzer compared Bush's promotion of Social Security changes to a magician with a hat in his right hand that he is waving around with wide gestures to distract his audience. Oh, I wonder if Governor Schweitzer listens to Head On, because we've used that same analogy. Watch what the left hand's doing. Watch the birdie, because I'm picking your pocket with my right hand and stealing your watch, too. So, Bush said he would restructure Medicaid at this meeting. And his budget targets $60 billion in cuts over 10 years. Now, let's go back. Thank you, Bush voters. Little children, old folks, disabled people, State Department of Health and Human Resources Secretary Martha Walker says that with federal funding cuts proposed for Medicaid, West Virginia may soon have to slice its Medicaid spending by about $150 million. You know, with for a disabled person, maybe that's a laminectomy that they can't get to fix a back that was destroyed. Or maybe it's corrective surgery to repair a cleft palate for a child who doesn't have health insurance. Maybe it's neonatal treatment for a newborn who won't survive without it. Thank you, Bush voters. Thanks a lot for being so pro-life, you sickening hypocrites. God, you make me sick. Sometimes the things you people do, just it gives me galloping bulimia. Just can't believe you'd do that to an American. But you would. You're more than happy to. You know, big rock. I'm not going there again. Ms. Walker says that they're going to try to tighten up the Medicaid program by considering expanding efforts to control fraud and abuse in the program and introduce personal responsibility contracts for Medicaid recipients, such as requiring co-payments for those who smoke. And you know, you think I'm kidding. Co-payments for those who eat fatty foods? Look, I am not taking that little piece of hog jowl out of my pot of brown beans. You understand me? But there it is. The projected 2005-2006 cost of Medicaid will be more than $2 billion. And that creates a deficit of more than $411 million. Here in West Virginia, we get about $3 of federal funding for every $1 the state provides, and Bush wants to bring that to an end. So I would dearly love to know whether or not Governor Manchin was one of those crinkling his nose or nodding his head, because Governor Schweitzer, a brother Democrat of Governor Manchin, says there was a whole lot more nose crinkling than head nodding. What are we going to do? I want an answer. What are we going to do? $150 million is going to be cut out of Medicaid. What are we going to do with the person who can't get a bypass operation or is back fixed? What are we going to do with the baby that cannot have the necessary medical services to keep it alive? Because this good, godly, upstanding Republican wants to cut the budget on the backs of the poor and the infirm. He says he's a Christian, but honest to God, whoever it was that declared him one never got him quite up to that verse about if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it also unto me. Or maybe it just doesn't. Never mind. Phone. Paul's with us on the phone. Hey, Paul, you're head on.
Bob.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I explained this on Dr. Bill's show last time I was on with him.
I know, and you try, and you know, I saw that headline the other day, and I thought of you. Social Security, your retirement's in a filing cabinet in Parkersburg?
Right, but on the Medicaid thing, that was under the drug bill of 2003 in November. It's now law.
Mm-hmm.
All 50 states have to pick a private HMO operator to run their billing for Medicaid.
Well, but not just that. You know, Bush is cutting the Medicaid budget by $60 billion over 10 years, Paul.
Yeah, it comes down 6 2/3% every year for the next 14 years. And the states have to make up that much every year if they're going to run a program.
And do you think it is extreme on my part, Paul, to say that somewhere along the way, some West Virginian will die because
of this?
It's
already happened, Bob. You had the kid that froze to death and the woman that froze to death. And last October, when Paul Nussbaum was up here at the Tamarack, and you had 154 vendors there, and they couldn't figure out why they wasn't being paid, and one of them, they owed $470,000 to his group, and they were billing on state codes, but they didn't know they were under HMO operator. And that HMO operator is a $68 million contract, and that's Unisys.
Mm-hmm.
It's only for 4 years. And if the 6 2/3% in the state of West Virginia has to make up $18,900,000 just this past year alone. And it's going to increase every year for the next 14 years that the state has to make it up, and that much less is coming from the federal government. And by 2018, the states will, if they're going to have a Medicaid program, they have to pay for it rather themselves. And every governor is complaining right now. But I hope
even the Republican ones. This new governor out in Indiana, Paul.
Yeah.
The guy that he was a close advisor to Bush in the first term, and he said, "Oh, you know, taxes bad taxes."
Uh-huh.
One of the first things he's done now that he's governor of Indiana, he's instituted a brand new tax on people who make more than $100,000 a year in Indiana.
Ah. And then I hope Chris is still listening, because Alabama is under the same rule. All 50 states and the District of Columbia have to comply with this. This has been the law since November of 93. As soon as he signed the bill, it's in H.R. 1.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there. That's just like we appropriated another $1 billion for the illegal Mexicans for free health care for the next 4 years. On top of the billions they're already ripping us off for. Mexico ripped us off for $15 billion last year. And then you turn around and take a look, and here's under Rumsfeld, the military retirees are paid out of that budget. Well, they just turned around and ripped off the mail carriers for $27 billion to pay the retirees.
You ever just want to run screaming into the night, Paul?
Not really. I just sit back and listen to this, hear those call up and give them their opinion. And, you know, hey, it's time you sit down and start learning something about your government and what goes on every day in the Congress and what these people are proposing.
Not a bad idea, but I don't think it's going to happen. Not with not with the case going to the jury in the Robert Blake trial, Paul. We've got important stuff happening in America.
or the pedophile.
And there's Michael. You know.
But the thing is, these are laws we've been working on and implementing for 18 and a half years.
How long would it take to turn some of this around, Paul?
Oh, you could do it overnight. But this Congress is set. The corporations run this country now, Bob.
Yeah. And you know, I say that on the air, Paul, and people think I'm absolutely sprayed roach crazy.
No, you're not. Let me tell you just what we've done. When Reagan signed the bill in 86, it went into effect in 85, and it went into effect in 86.
Mm-hmm.
These plans were set. This thing runs out 2010. This law ends. But we've been implementing all parts that go with it year after year. And people don't even know it. Find the word pension on a 401k.
Oh, it's not there.
It's not there. It's not a pension. It's welfare.
You're
a welfare gambler.
Yeah.
People don't know that. But it tells you. It is a welfare benefit.
And the funny thing is, Paul, what blows my mind is that good people who believe that gambling is a sin and wouldn't be caught pitching pennies at a brick wall... We'll jump right out there and think that they're having a favor done for them with their 401k.
Did you know the churches are on them?
Yes.
They are on them. And you've got some of the churches that are now playing the stock market on this. Did they ever read Isaiah 24?
No. You know, they never got to that part about the centurions gambling for Jesus' raiment either, apparently.
No, they didn't. But when it comes to gambling on their life, you had the Jew, the publican, and the other individual, Pilate, which is called by his own name.
Yeah.
Done the conviction. And he talked about taking care of the poor. Jesus is, and that's what we're doing. When we work this way under Social Security and Medicare, we take care, one generation takes care of another. Couldn't be any simpler than a biblical term, especially on the Ten Commandments. And by the law, then you got the Ten Commandments up before the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Our Constitution is written on those Ten Commandments, the laws of God.
Well, our Constitution, it must be remembered, Paul, our Constitution does not contain the word God anywhere in it.
No, but it does in our Declaration of Independence.
Nature and nature's God.
Technically,
the Declaration of Independence is not law in this country.
No, it's not.
The Constitution controls.
But the point is here, Bob, we say we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
Yes, indeed.
But the black man wasn't equal at that time.
No.
4 years later, you had brother killing brother.
Yeah, what was he? The black man was 3/5 of a human being at the time the Declaration was signed?
Yeah, just about. But we would never live up to the truth that we speak.
No, we don't. And I've heard you mention and it struck me because my wife has too helped our daughter learn the preamble to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, promote the general welfare.
General welfare. Means everybody works, pays the taxes.
Yeah.
And never how much you make, you pay it. That means the B in there.
And that means, but it also means, Paul, that this federal government is for everyone. The general welfare.
Right.
The good, decent, upstanding shot at a worthwhile life that should belong not only to the man who ships the rum in from Jamaica, but also to the milkmaid who goes to the barn at 4 o'clock every morning. The general welfare.
Yeah, and under our fifth Amendment. It's life, liberty, and property.
Yes.
But it says life. It didn't say kill.
Right. There's the... if you read the Constitution closely, Paul, there is only one excuse for the death penalty in the entire document.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that is?
Oh yeah.
Treason.
Treason.
Yeah. And that's in the document.
That's in the document.
Killing and hanging for any other thing, it's not there. And yet there's Antonin Scalia yesterday. This guy who is, I don't know if you're familiar with it, he is an Opus Dei Catholic. Hardcore right winger.
You got it.
And this guy is, he professes to follow the teachings of the church and yet can sit there on the bench and say that he wants to have 17-year-olds killed?
Mm-hmm. But if you look at our children today, both parents are working.
Yes, they are.
And who led them this way? When you go back and look at these laws, Bob, and how they were written and what we were doing.
It was deliberate, Paul.
It sure was, and it has been all along.
You know, we had runaway inflation, and I'll admit it, Jimmy Carter inherited hellish inflation from Gerald Ford and Richard Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, during that Carter administration, it is the last time that the demographics in these United States showed a preponderance of two-parent households with one parent going away to work every day and one parent staying home and managing the house. That's when it ended, when Ronald Reagan took office.
Hey, you got it.
And people get so mad at me for pointing that out.
Oh, it's when it happened. Then we started this thing on accelerated cost.
Yeah.
And that was on equipment you bought. And then they turned around in 84 and wrote in modified.
Well, and not only that, but with the tax reform of 1986, and I remember it well because it was a burden to my parents. Prior to the 1986 tax reform, a middle-class American could deduct credit card interest,
mm-hmm.
could deduct bank loan interest, home mortgage interest, interest on just a car loan interest. You could deduct interest.
And you stop paying Social Security? After the first 3 months,
and
but now you pay it every payday.
Sure you do.
but when you get up to $90,000, and they started raising Social Security payout every year, up every year on the average of $4,200.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get up to $90,000. But I go back to that very same thing, a preamble to our Constitution, general welfare. You work, you pay. But that's like saying, oh, these multi-billionaires, they can't run these corporations, you know, if you're going to raise them taxes. Well, then all that money they made, who you think made it for them? They didn't make it on their own.
They're not sitting there cranking the printing press like Johannes Gutenberg.
That's right.
The sweat of somebody's brow earned them that.
That's right. And then you look at the pay scale between these multi-million billionaires and CEOs. And look at the individual, 500-1 ratio, a difference in pay.
Oh, and that's the modest ones. I mean, it rises to thousands and thousands to one.
Yeah, and when you keep looking at this, and then Bill Gates tells you that we need to get back to our basics on school and our education system.
Well, I tend to agree with him.
But the point is, we had that system in the 60s.
And
it worked.
Well, we had that system when my parents were graduating from Anstead High School in 1943.
Right. But up until 1965 to 1970, did you know we had one of the best vocational schools in the state in Beckley right here?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, I took one course myself in electronics technology.
Mm-hmm.
We built AM radio, AM transmitter, mm-hmm. FM. And the FM transmitter, relay stations, the guidance systems, and we built our own computer. And these boys in the daytime out of high school were taking this. And they even went as far through trigonometry, and I did too.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing was left was calculus.
Right.
So when our boys went to school down at Tech, which was one of the best engineering schools in the country.
Yes, it was.
Our kids were coming out, going down there. They were teaching the professors classes for him, mathematics.
And we threw it all away, Paul.
We did. Oh, did we?
We threw it all away. And the fact is, I heard Dr. Bill talking about those 12 points this afternoon, and it struck me that those 12 points to teach people not to be educated citizens, but rather to teach them to be, you know, good model workers, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Those were crafted by people who never went through the public school system. Those were crafted by people who instead were educated and planned to continue educating their children up east in the rarefied air of the boarding, you know, the elite private boarding schools of New England.
That's right. That's right. But this is the system that we're now into. But that's just like Bill Gates. He was a dropout in college.
Mm-hmm.
But he was
a rich dropout, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the best way to make $1 million is to start with $999,000 and $999,999.99.
Yeah.
You can make a penny.
Right.
Hey, Paul, we're out of time, but thanks so much for your call.
Hey, you're welcome.
All right, bye now. Okay, time for the news. After that, more of your calls, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
National Multiple Sclerosis Society, Michael McKean and David Lander.
David, did you know that the National Multiple Sclerosis Society is the world leader in MS research services and professional education?
Yep, they've been helping me for over 20 years, and we can help them by visiting their website or calling 1-800-FIGHT-MS.
You know everything.
I get around.
My daughter didn't have to die. We didn't know college kids are at risk for meningitis. Vaccination could have saved her.
Health officials recommend parents and college students learn about meningitis and vaccination. A message from the National Meningitis Association.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. Now, CBS covers the world at the tone. It's 9 o'clock.
As times change, our bodies process medications differently. That's why it's important to talk to your doctor or pharmacist about your medications. For a free brochure, As You Age, Guide to Aging, Medicines, and Alcohol, call 1-800-662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Your forecast from the Weather Channel. Rather windy through the evening hour. Still a chance of some light snow or snow flurries. Overnight, partly cloudy with diminishing winds. Going to be a cold night. High lows from 10 to 15. Chance of snow flurries on Thursday with a high of 31. Friday looks good, though. Partly cloudy, warmer high 43. Rain Saturday, possibly mixed with snow with a high around 40. And on Sunday, back to partly sunny skies with a high around 42. This is meteorologist. Thanks to the first from the Weather Channel.
Here's Bob Kincaid. Head On.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock, the final hour of tonight's Wednesday night edition of Head On. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. It's pretty easy. Write it down. You know, put it in your speed dial. Make it easy on yourself. We were talking about Bush's appearance at the governor's meeting. Oh, mercy. This comment... Bush had trouble remembering the name of his Secretary of Agriculture. Mike Johanns, former Nebraska governor, was standing there with him on stage. And here's what it says in the transcript. I appreciate the members of my cabinet who are here. Yeah, Your name is?
Joe Hens.
It takes a while to get to know every member of the cabinet.
And this is interesting because the night before, the White House press office had to send out a corrected transcript of Bush's toast at the Governor's Association dinner because they spelled Mr. Johan's name wrong. What have you people, not the normal ones, not the normal ones, the people that voted for Bush, what have you people done to my country? What have you people done to the country that I was taught to revere and honor and love and respect? What have you done to my country? Why do you hate America so much that you would put this drug-addled moron in office? My goodness gracious. Your name is... I mean, that's like me not being able to remember John Kepi's name or Taylor Skye's. I see them virtually every day. Mr. Johans, Secretary Johans, Johans, I don't know. I don't work with him every day. Bush does. Oh, mercy. Your name is... It takes a while to get to know every member of the cabinet. And still, remember the gay hooker in the White House press corps? I keep going to the right-wing Christian fundamentalist sites, you know, the ones that are so concerned. Yeah, Fred Phelps! My God, a day after tomorrow, he's going to picket John Edwards' visit to Topeka, Kansas, and declare to John Edwards that God, Almighty God, caused Firestone tires to be improperly designed and manufactured, causing injury and death to thousands of people, just so God could get at John Edwards because John Edwards doesn't hate the fags like the Reverend Fred Phelps, ordained Southern Baptist minister, does. I'm not kidding. And when the tsunami killed some Swedes, Fred Phelps put on his website, "Thank God for the tsunami. Please, may God bring a tsunami to the United States. The United States should have another 9/11 because of the queers." And there is, of course, not a word about Jeff Gannon, Jimmy Guckert, Jimmy Jeff Gucky Gann, at the Reverend Fred Phelps, ordained Southern Baptist minister's hateful website. James Dobson, utterly convinced that even cartoon queers are ruining America. Not a word. Donald Wildman? Everybody, I mean, there's queers under the bed in Donald Wildman's world. Not a word about Jimmy Jeff Gucky Gann. Now, is it just me, or does that smell like hypocrisy? Yep, that's hypocrisy. My heavenly days. So there's that. But meanwhile, you know, the Senate is on a, you know, these good Republican senators are on a, and congressmen are on a crusade against obscenity. Because they're afraid somebody's going to say booger on the air. You guys are a riot. You are an absolute riot, right-wingers. And so easy to smack around. Almost makes you feel bad. A couple of months ago, you remember I told you about the college Republicans ripping off seniors? Still going on. Harold Thompson, 78-year-old retiree and farmhand, wrote 227 checks last year, totaling $6,778 to the College Republican National Committee and its offshoots, because he couldn't go to the mailbox without getting a direct mailing from them.
Sister Mary Yvonne Bach, 88 years old, retired Immaculate Heart of Mary nun, wrote 37 checks for $5,153. This is from the Detroit Free Press. Kathleen Brittingham, 81-year-old widow, donated $4,166 to the group through 157 checks. Margaret Moorish, 83 years old, Redford Township, Michigan, wrote 261 checks, totaling $34,479. And little, if any, of it went to the reelection of George W. Bush. Most of it went into the pockets of a direct merchant or direct marketing mailer company called Response Dynamics of Vienna, Virginia. $211,000 came from 250 Michigan residents to the College Republican National Committee in 2004. They raised $9 million on behalf of the group. Only $825,000 of that $9 million went to the College Republicans. Do you believe that? What do you do with a party that preys on old people? Oh, some of you got so upset when I said that Republican Party membership was a commonality of serial killers and perverts and rapists. Oh, mercy, you got upset. Got your knickers all in a twist. And here they are ripping off seniors. Ripping off seniors. $35,000 from one woman. And guess what? They're not giving it back. That woman can eat dog food for all they care. They stole her life savings. Listen to him, Mabel. He's going to start, that Kincaid's going to start calling them people names now. Now, I'm not going to bother. Because the names that by which these people should be referred to, I'm not allowed to say on the radio. Dirty, low down, stinking, rotten. And there's the list of words I can't say. I'll leave them up to your imagination. Some of them have to do with barnyards. Other ones have to do with, you know, other things. But Republicans. But thank God they're guarding our family values. And we get the Ten Commandments debate today. That was a real beauty. Fat Tony Scalia out there. I don't see any problem. If you don't like it, look away. Well, no, see, Tony, that's the whole problem. You don't have to look away. You've got a right under the First Amendment not to be confronted by religion everywhere you turn. It's bad enough already. If we've got to have the Ten Commandments in public buildings, fine. I say put them up. But put them up next to a sign that says, this rock is in this building because organized religion in America is an abject failure and cannot succeed in teaching its membership to obey these rules. And make sure you paint "Thou shalt not kill" in blood, sunshine. In blood. And let's send a copy of the Ten Commandments with "Thou shalt not steal" in dollar bill green to the head of the College Republicans. What do you say? What is the sense of putting up documents in this all over creation in this country when the very people who are so in favor of them won't follow them? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. But I'm crazy, right? I'm a hater. Brother. I'll leave it alone. I don't like the topic anyway. Oh, let's take a break. Is that all right, John? I want to take a break. When we come back, your calls or my thoughts. It's your choice. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be right back.
the enemy are. And the Cougars are national champions.
This is our town. This is our team. It's Mountain State University Cougar basketball, and you can follow all the exciting action on Power Country 105.9 WTNJ. The 2004 NAIA Division I national champs are looking to go right back. Don't miss a game, home or away. This is Paul Van Scott inviting you to join me for all the exciting action this year of Mountain State University Cougar basketball on 105.9 WTNJ.
This is Deborah Ray with today's Nutrition Notebook. Most of us are aware that drinking cranberry juice regularly helps prevent kidney infections such as cystitis. In fact, many physicians now recommend it. Researchers have recently determined that cranberries contain a group of natural substances called proanthocyanidins, PCOSs for short. It seems that these PCOSs stick to the surface lining of organs like the urinary bladder. It is this property that appears to prevent bacteria from attaching to the lining, preventing or reducing the chances of them causing a bladder infection. The possible health benefits locked inside the fruit of the cranberry bush do not end there. A number of laboratory studies have recently determined that these PCOSs in cranberry juice are antioxidants that might be effective in lowering cholesterol, which in turn could reduce the risk of blocked arteries. Other research has indicated that cranberry products might be useful in preventing or treating anything from middle ear infection to chronic prostatitis. Well, that's today's Nutrition Notebook. For more nutrition news, log on to HealthyTalkRadio.com.
Fight the flu bug. Call Bioactive Nutrients at 1-800-879-6504 and ask about Olive Leaf Extract, the ultimate immune system defense supplement. Our 800-milligram Olive Leaf Extract capsule is the strongest on the market, and it really works. Ask our friendly representatives about our Buy 2, Get 1 free special and get on the road to a healthier you. Call Bioactive Nutrients today, 1-800-879-6504, the strongest Olive Leaf Extract on the market today. From Bioactive Nutrients, call 1-800-879-6504.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got the heart of a conservative. Pickles on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Yeah, one last thought. I'm Bob. This is Head On. One last thought. Just work this with me. That whole do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, you know, it's sort of a biblical manifestation of maybe the idea of karma. But so, You overturn a government for religious reasons. That's what happened in November. In the November of 2000. Then you turn around and attack another country, which then chooses a government for religious reasons, and those religious people hate the government that you chose for religious reasons. Hard karma, man. Or as God rest his soul, Hunter Thompson would say, it's a mighty hard dollar, brother. Think about it. I mean, that just makes your little head hurt. You remember a couple of weeks back when we were talking about the fact that the coal industry had decided we didn't have enough manganese in our water? Manganese, which leads to manganism, which leads to Parkinson's disease and attention deficit disorder. And, of course, the right-wingers would tell you that's there's no such thing as ADD, attention deficit disorder, hyperactivity disorder. That just, if your kid's got it, it means you're not beating them enough. Come here, kid. Spare the 2x4 and spoil the child. Womp. No, the manganese, it rots your brain. Well, headline in the Chaz Gaz today, C-section, page 1. Article by Ken Ward Jr., who does some pretty good work. Coal industry running state aluminum study. Yeah, you know, big broad headline. I read that. Oh, this is going to trigger. This is going to trigger my gag reflex. Oops. Honey, go and get me a bucket. I'm going to throw up. Over the next 2 years, the State Environmental Quality Board is expected to rewrite West Virginia's water quality limits for the toxic metal aluminum. It's trust me, it's great. Aluminum is great to wrap those last couple of pieces of halibut in. You can even put it in the fridge, and the whole fridge won't necessarily smell like fried halibut. It sucks if you eat it. Not good for you. It's not good for fish. So the question arises as to who's going to design the scientific study they hope to guide the decision on the water quality decision thingy. Well, headline says it all. Coal industry running state aluminum study. If the coal industry has its way, the public will have little involvement in such matters. What are you doing here? Who do you think you are? What do you mean? What do you mean you drink water and therefore you've got a right? Don't sit down and shut up. Get out of here. We are big coal and we will, by God, tell you what's good for you. Get out of here. Go on now. Don't let me. Don't you make me call the law. Because I will, because they're on our side. Jason Bostic, a lobbyist for the West Virginia Coal Association, who apparently no longer has a soul because he has sold it, said that dig this. Boy, I sound like a hippie. Yo, dude, dig this. He said that environmentalists should not take part in the determination about the study because they opposed any change in the aluminum limits. See, that's a lie right there from Jason Bostic. Lie. Big old lie. Because I don't know about the rest of the environmental community, but from my standpoint, we already allow too much aluminum in the water. So I don't oppose any change in the aluminum limits. I am for change in the aluminum limits. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble with aluminum limits. Rubber baby buggy bumpers. I don't oppose change in the aluminum limits. I want them changed to reflect less aluminum being allowed in our water. There I go, being crazy again. What did Jason Bostic say? I am a little concerned that we need to include people that were... No, wait, wrong voice. I'm a little concerned that we need to include people that were at the outset opposed to the idea that we needed to re-examine the criteria at all. Bostic told board members during a December meeting. He then added, excellent. Board members appointed an environmental group scientist to the aluminum study committee anyway. Well, remember, what's the headline? Coal industry running state aluminum study. So what's big coal want to do? Now this is a governmental group. Your government, our government, us, you know, we, the people, or as big coal likes to refer to us, the morons, the rubes, the shills, the Johns. Well, Big Coal wants to close those meetings. I wasn't kidding. Go on, get out of here, or we'll call the law on you. And if you don't hurry up about it, we'll call the law and sick the dogs. They've already had a meeting, the panel has, that wasn't publicly announced or open to citizens. Now, I might not attend one of these meetings, but I damn sure want to be able to if I can. They're waiting on an ethics commission opinion, the group is, that they hope will free them, listen to this language, free them from complying with the State Open Governmental Proceedings Act. And that gets considered tomorrow. Anybody want to guess which way that ruling's going to come down? And then there's Jenny Henthorne. She's a chemist with a law firm. That's right. Some law firms have chemists on staff. Because they deal with so much poison. One of those law firms is Bowles, Rice, McDavid, Graff, and Love, or as I like to refer to them, Rice Bowles. And she ran that meeting on Friday that the public wasn't really welcome at. And a member of the public tried to ask a question. Jenny Henthorne, a chemist with the industry law firm Bowles, Rice, McDavid, Graff, and Love, refused to allow that member of the public, you know, our brother, our sister, people like us, the people who pay for government, refused to allow the member of the public to speak or ask questions. She said that allowing people to speak at an open meeting would... Listen to her constitutional reasoning. It would take too much time. It would take too much time. Free speech takes too much time. We've got time. We'll wait, Miss Henthorne, a chemist with the industry law firm Rice Bowles. We'll take time. We can wait. How about you? What's your hurry, sweetheart? In too much of a hurry to have good government, too much of a hurry to have open government, too much of a hurry to have honest government? Damn. Where are my personal accountability Republican friends when I need them? Now, here's Big Coal trying to make sure that we get a little more aluminum in the water because, hey, if it's good to wrap the fish, it must be great inside you. Sorry, no, it's not. It's terrible. It's awful. It's deadly. It'll actually make fish stop breathing. Eh, screw the fish. Where are my personal accountability accountability and government Republican friends? Hey, John, we need at some point just load in a crickets sound effect, because that's what you'd get if you asked Republicans to stand up for good government and open meetings on this issue. Crickets. Hear the crickets? Chirp, 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 chirp. Crickets. All right, break time. 30 minutes more of the show to go. Third, one last chance to get your licks in. 252-6200 outside Beckley. It's 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The snowstorm has just about moved out of the area, with the exception of blowing snow left over, and the heavy snow has been a blessing for the state's ski resorts. March is usually a busy month, and things have gotten even busier with the fresh snowfall this week. About a foot of new snow has fallen at Winter Place. Winter Place President Jerry Pfeiffer says things could not be better.
We've had very nice visitation. Lots of folks have come out, and as you know, there's been school cancellations in the area, so I've seen some of the kids that are out of school coming out and enjoying the skiing also. When it's weather like this, it's wonderful, and people that, haven't gotten enough skiing, the beginning of this winter was a little bit mild, so, people may have not come out to get their fill of skiing in, and right now is prime-time midwinter skiing conditions.
Snowshoe Mountain Resort in Pocahontas County has also seen the biggest winter in the winter sweepstakes. It has seen 21 inches of fresh powder since the latest round of heavy snow started on Sunday night. About 200 employees of Workers' Compensation Commission will move to the State Insurance Commission when it takes over the agency's oversight of the commission system, compensation system rather, and appeals of award. That work will eventually be done by a new mutual insurance company, which will be a private company controlled by the state's more than 40,000 employers. People working for the Office of Inspector General's Fraud Unit will move on July 1st. Other sections will move by January 1st. A proposal to establish a separate fire code for bed and breakfast establishments in the state is being hailed by inn operators, but it has the state fire marshal concerned that safety rules don't go far enough. Kathleen Panek is the president of the Mountain State Association of Bed and Breakfasts, and she says many operators had been unaware they were in violation of existing rules that restricted the number of guests to 3. So she says the association started to lobby for more favorable regulations last year, and that proposal could reach a Senate vote as early as tomorrow. That's the news. Here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Partly cloudy. Still some blowing snow in the highest elevation, so watch out for that, especially areas like Flat Top and Sewell Mountain. Otherwise, partly cloudy and cold tonight with a low near 18, and for Thursday, much improved, with the temperatures in the upper 30s and partly sunny skies. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
Welcome to the John Deere Lawn Care Show, Green and Growing. Today we're here with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, I am so ready for spring. I'm already thinking about new equipment. When will my local dealer replace snow blowers with string trimmers?
Probably already has. Manufacturers typically introduce new products in the fall, and they start arriving in dealer showrooms in early winter. So take advantage. Go check out the newest technology and designs.
Good idea. I've had my eye on this new lawnmower.
Well, before you blindly follow that eye, make sure it's a match for your lawn's size and contour. For lawns less than a third of an acre, a walk-behind mower can get the job done in about an hour. If you've got more than a half acre, though, a riding lawnmower or lawn tractor is the way to go. And when you go to the dealership, don't be afraid to ask questions.
How about color?
I always like green myself.
I bet you do, Bill.
Matches my lawn, you know.
Mm-hmm. Tune in again for Green and Growing.
Knowledge is power. News Talk 620 WWNR. He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Talking about letting Don Blankenstein put a little more aluminum into our water. Tasty, that aluminum. The chemist, what's her name again? Henthorne? Yes. Miss Henthorne, Jenny Henthorne, says, I can see this getting to be pretty cumbersome. So, you know, and just so you'll know, Ken Ward lets you know, in West Virginia, aluminum is discharged into streams by active and past coal mining operations. When the aluminum precipitates out of water, it coats channel rocks, eventually destroying stream ecosystems. Aluminum can be directly toxic to fish and other aquatic life. It accumulates on gills, affecting breathing. And it's not good for you, either. Do you remember a few years back when people stopped... Well, not... I mean, they're obviously still making it, so it wasn't across the board. But, people stopped taking Rolaids for their stomach acid, and a lot of them started doing Tums instead because Rolaids contained aluminum, and there was some indication that aluminum concentrations in the brain led to Alzheimer's. So here's how it works out. You want to lay there in a nursing home bed in your old age, not even aware of the cream corn that you're gumming and some of the less savory aspects of being old and out of your mind? You want to do that? You get in behind Don Blankenstein and his little aluminum initiative. You do that. And somewhere in here, oh, I've got to see if I can run across it real quick. There's a quote from last week when the miners got arrested down in, well, down at Cannleton. Oh, here it is. I want you to hear that by this, to the same extent that this miserable excuse for a human being, Jason Bostick, said, I'm a little concerned that we need to include people that were at the outset opposed to the idea that we needed to re-examine the criteria at all. Him. Okay, well, that's okay. There's lots of other people that talk that way, too. Jeff Gillenwater talks that way. Jeff Gillenwater sold his soul to go to work for Massey. He's a Massey spokesman. A spokesman. He's a person who says what he is told to do for a certain amount of money delivered into his bank account every month. And if Don Blankenship tells him to go out and say that it would be good for all of us to have several spoonfuls of arsenic on our Wheaties every morning, Jeff Gillenwater will come out and tell us that it is so. So, Because Massey had to say something about the fact that the UMWA came out and pointed out what a monstrosity it is to throw hard-working West Virginians out into the cold, cut them off from their health care benefits, steal their pensions from them, take away their very livelihoods.
steal from them things that they have already earned. Massey had to respond somehow, didn't they? Because, you see, and we've been over this a number of times, when Massey, at that rigged auction, bought the Horizon Energy operations, they connived a bankruptcy judge into throwing out Horizon's obligations to pay its pensions and health care benefits, in which they had contracted legally to do so. So Jeff Gillenwater, who apparently is able to get up every morning and look at himself in the mirror without necessarily vomiting uncontrollably, in talking about the theft of the Horizon mine by Massey, Jeff Gillenwater said no company would have purchased those assets with the liabilities attached. Listen to it again. No company would have purchased those assets with the liabilities attached. Now, just what would those liabilities be? Those liabilities. This is how Massey thinks of human beings. No company would have purchased those assets with the human beings attached. The human beings had to be severed. They had to be cut out like a cancer. No company would purchase those assets with those human liabilities attached. For you see, at Massey, if you belong to a union, you are a liability. You are not fully human. The humans who work for Massey know very well whom to obey. They answer the bell, they answer the call, and when they are told to work off the clock for no money at all, they gladly do so because they know that if they do not, they will not be Massey employees much longer. No company would have purchased those assets with the human liabilities attached. You can almost hear the blood dripping off his fangs, can't you? What a sick bunch of vampiric monsters. Ugh. The only thing is, these have evolved upward. These vampires can operate in the daylight. How dare he refer to human beings as liabilities? At what point in his development did he lose his soul, this Jeff Gillenwater, and start thinking about human beings as liabilities instead of friends and neighbors and brothers and sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles? At what point does he walk in the door and say to his children, "Good evening, my little liabilities"? Was it when he was a teenager? Mommy liability, daddy liability. I'm going to go out and squish some babies. When does that happen to the human soul? When does it? Okay, you're an atheist. When does that happen to a human being? At what point do you just rip the humanity off yourself, cast it aside, and go to work for Massey because you haven't figured out either that they don't hook U-Hauls to hearses? No company would have purchased those assets with the liabilities attached. Is his wife a liability, this Jeff Gillenwater? Does he have a wife? Are there kids? Is there any woman out there that would marry something that refers to a human being as a liability? Am I the only one that's disgusted with this? This is... No one would purchase those assets with the liabilities attached. Please take a big axe and sever the liabilities from the assets, and I don't care how much blood lands on the ground and flies about. We can get one of these massive workers to clean it up. If they bother to. Lord God. You hate me, love me. I don't understand how these people think that can call human beings liabilities. It makes me crazy. Brian's with us. Hey, Brian, you're head on.
How's it going, Bob?
I'm doing okay.
I'm still trying to figure out how you say that Massey stole these guys' pensions. Horizon's the one that stole them. If there was the huge liability there, the guys that owned Horizon are the ones that pocketed the money and kept it, not Massey.
Well, slow down, Brian. What's wrong with these guys that were working there?
There's nothing wrong with the guys that were working there. Don come out and said he hired two when he...
Right, but they had, Brian, they had to become scabs. They had to cast off their own humanity and spit on their union brothers to go to work for Don. Why can't Don deal honestly with a union, Brian?
Some people are pro-union, some people aren't. I know that unions have been a good thing in the past. I have a problem with part of the mentality, the good brother, good boy mentality. You've got to be one of the chosen few to be able to work. I do know it's that way, and I can't say it's that way in all of them. I do know for sure that it is that way in some of them, because I know a couple of people that are on the books that aren't in the cliques that don't get called for anything.
Well, what we're talking about here, Brian, is not that situation. We're talking about an entire crew of miners who was fully capable, fully trained. Some of the safest miners in the world are UMWA miners. Okay, these guys, they had no strikes against them. All Massey had to do was say, look, because, you know, here's a big secret, Brian. Massey has some union minds.
Massey has a few.
Why did they have to spit on these people in Cannleton?
I can't answer that one.
I mean, it is wrong.
I wish I knew Don. I'd call him and ask him.
But, you know, your moral sense tells you it's wrong, right? Your moral sense tells you that it's wrong to refer to human beings as liabilities.
It is wrong to... Well, that's what the judge did.
No, this is Jeff Gillenwater... Brian, this is Jeff Gillenwater, spokesman for Massey. No company would have purchased those assets with the liabilities attached.
Well, considering that there was, a $50 million workers' comp debt at the time, plus who knows what money wasn't there for retirements and pensions that should have been there... that Horizon bigwigs kept. I have a problem with any big.
I got a problem. Listen, I got a problem with Horizon too for doing what they did. But you know, there's a pension bailout program in the federal government similar to the FDIC and the FSLIC and the NCUA.
Well, why that didn't help the folks that had were in Enron.
No, because if you listen to what Paul says, you'll know they didn't have pensions. They had the employee participation in a stock program, and they had all that junk Enron stock and weren't allowed to sell it. It's a different animal. This was a pension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hate to say it, Brian, but because, you know, I know you're a decent guy. You know, your heart's in the right place. You know, there is literally one man down there whose wife is battling breast cancer right now. And Don threw them out in the street.
Well, I do know that I heard the interview where they asked him, you know, why haven't you hired the guys back? And he said, when I came in and took the operation, I set it up with, as far as my guys go, you know, the ones that he has that he trusts that's run the other mines. He said, I initiated it with them, hired two of the union miners. He said, that was 3.5 weeks ago. They haven't bothered to show up yet. He said, I just as soon as put them all to work, but I brought in two, and they don't even want to come to work.
Well, you know why they don't want to come to work? Because somewhere in their soul, they don't have it in them to spit on their brothers. Because the minute they show up there, they are scabs. And they forfeit the right to any decent regard of any decent human being.
Well, I guess for that matter, people that work at convenience stores are scabs then because they're not in a union.
Big difference. No, when you are a member of a union and you forego your union obligations and cross a picket line to go to work at a non-union facility, that's when the scab attaches.
Well, I can see the scab being attached if it, like when they were crossing New Beckley, the union was picketing. It was a union mines, the union was picketing, and they were bringing in non-union workers while it would still be considered a union mines to keep it open and running.
Well, see, Brian, the Horizon miners had a contract. If there is anything that is sacred in our secular society, and you know, ask any right winger about this, Brian, the right of contract is very nearly sacred. Those guys had jobs. The union miners
had jobs. Massey brought non-union miners in to take those union jobs.
So you can split hairs on it.
I don't think I'm splitting any hairs, Brian.
Well, I mean, Massey bought the property.
Yeah, at a rigged auction. I mean,
should he have? I guess you can get into the moral side of it. Should he have kept it a union mines? A lot less hassle and crap would have come out if he would have. But then I wonder about down there on Coal River. You know, they're screaming down there about the sludge pond, the one behind the school up there. You know, in everything that I've been able to talk, people that I've talked to that live in the area, nothing was really said until Massey got the mines. It was okay when the union was doing it, but Massey bought it, and all of a sudden it's, just one of the worst things in the world that can be done.
And Massey is Katie bar the door on all this. Union mines are generally run safer, cleaner, with more consideration for the communities where the miners live. Massey's not like that because a lot of Massey workers don't work anywhere near the mountains they're blowing up. You can go into one of their parking lots and you'll see Virginia plates and Kentucky plates and West Virginia plates that are from nowhere around there. I had a neighbor that drove 100 miles one way to go and destroy mountains. We got to where we didn't speak. Hey Brian, I got one more call I got to hit. Thanks so much, man. Okay, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
Well, I just wonder, you did such a good job on that first guy, I figured your show was over, man, because nobody was ever going to call you again. But Brian had the guts. I don't agree with Brian.
Right.
But I respect that he had the guts to call you up.
Me and Brian and I share common ground on a number of issues.
Right. But that whole deal, what I was calling you about really was about where's all the people that disagree with you. And like I said, since that first call, you scared them all away.
Well,
you did too good.
We've got some great radio here on this station, Wayne, and
is excellent radio.
There's wonderful dialogue that goes on in the afternoon. And, I don't know, but what Dr. Bill may be so successful that he's changing some hearts and changing some minds. I hope he is, But by the same token, some of what we do here on Radio Free Beckley isn't about changing anybody's minds. I don't want to change a Republican's mind. There's no changing it. Those guys will vote Republican. If cloven-hoofed Satan showed up on the party ticket, they would vote for him as long as he was a Republican. And I'm not going to change those people, and it is a foolish waste of my time to attempt it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. While I'll disagree with you a little bit, I hope people listen because people's minds can be changed. I think they can.
The Dinos, the mugwump Democrats who for some reason known but to God voted for George Bush, those minds, they can be brought back around. They're not lost.
Right.
A hardcore Republican, eh.
Well, I think some people, I don't know if they're hardcore Republican or what, but at some point you have to face the facts. And the facts are, they're coming out every day. Brian, what he was just talking about, that whole Horizon and Massey thing, that was a set up deal.
Sure it was.
Here's the deal. You go bankrupt. Don bought a Supreme Court justice in West Virginia. I don't know who this justice or judge was that decided that when Horizon went bankrupt, the union contracts didn't have to go along with them. But I'm sure Don Blankenship knows who that judge was.
Oh, yes.
And it was
does.
All set up. It was a set up deal. And I think once Brian comes to the realization that there is the real world, that he'll have a little different outlook.
Oh, yeah.
And the only way he could get that outlook is through you and through this radio program.
Well,
because you're not going to hear it from 9 to 12.
No.
So.
Well, I understand that, Wayne. But yeah, do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm trying to energize our side for the fight that's coming.
And you're doing a real good job at that.
Because, we have laid down and gotten spit on and kicked. This clown that will follow me at 10:05, has a new book coming out, apparently, of liberalism, the mental disorder. You know. Yeah.
Ever a mental disorder.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, I could tell you stories about him and Allen Ginsberg, but I'd get thrown off the air.
Right.
They're not exactly, it would shock the conscience of Senator Ted Stevens. But seriously, you know, we've laid, you know, and look, I mean, damn, Wayne, we went through an election cycle where, and I know you were one of the, and your lovely wife were two people out there absolutely pounding the pavement, knocking on doors, doing everything in your power to get John Kerry elected, and John Kerry wouldn't fight.
No, he wouldn't.
You know,
no, he wouldn't. That's exactly right.
Don't ask me for my political support if you are not going to get up and fight. So, you know, what's the political lingo? We got to energize the base.
Yeah, we do. And we have to say some things that aren't so popular.
Yeah.
You know, or that, maybe shocking to someone, you know.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah, I know.
You know, what's shocking is the position that we're in at the work. You know, well, going back to my thing with this college job and Tom Ackers and Bill O'Brien, you know, the whole night, well, they don't have enough money. Why don't they have enough money? Because we're fighting a war that we should have never been in?
Right.
Because we attacked a country that didn't do anything to us?
Yeah, and I'm always getting hell for not talking about the happy news out of Iraq. Did you see the happy news out of Iraq today, Wayne?
What, only
one of the judges,
100 people died?
Yeah, one of the judges in the Saddam trial got a cap busted in him.
Oh. Is that good news?
Well, I mean, no, there is no. That's the point. There is no good.
Isn't.
There is no good news in Iraq.
There is.
We're over there killing people that never did a thing to us, and now they're fighting us because they want us the hell out of there.
Exactly.
And you know, we call them insurgents. Yep. If the shoe was on the other foot and we were doing it over here, we'd be freedom fighters.
And George Bush and company is lying to us constantly, every day, and all these people are eating it up.
Oh yeah, I mean, I got a story here I didn't get to. We know and love Paul Wolfowitz, right, Wayne?
Oh yeah.
Guess what he's about to be?
He has a quite unique way of combing his hair. I don't know if you've ever seen.
Quit playing with my gag reflex.
Okay, buddy.
But no, he's going to be the new president of the World Bank.
Oh, is that right? Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, screw
it. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, it's.
Oh,
it,
okay.
Yeah, our buddy Steven from across the pond sent me the link to that. Yeah, Paul Wolfowitz, you know, he screwed up really good as Assistant Secretary of Defense, so we're going to put him in charge of the monetary system of the entire freaking world and see what he can do to that.
You know what? That brings up something that you made me think of something. We don't have enough money for the educational center.
Right.
That Ackers wants to build.
Yeah.
I said, well, let's call up Bremer. Tell him, look through your desk drawer real good.
Yeah, shake out the sofa,
yeah,
Paul.
He lost $9 billion.
Yeah.
He might, you know, I don't know. I could probably find a couple bucks there, and we could finish this education.
I suggest we comb the shag carpet.
There you go.
Wayne, thanks so much.
All right, brother. Have a good one.
Later. All right. I had a lot of fun tonight. The show, of course, was produced by the... absent lately, but great to have him here tonight, John Kepi. Inimitable that he is. Engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you, as ever, by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. We gave you a little lesson tonight on the motto, didn't we? Yeah, we did. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. And don't forget, the show is archived every night by Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org. We do appreciate everything that everyone does to make this the best radio in West Virginia. Hey, Agnes.